Ezra, when you are. I'm going to open the House Committee on Ag, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities. Today's April 23rd, 2009. My apologies for starting us late. We've got lots of moving parts going. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3321. Representative Greenlick and Representative Wingard, would you like to join us together at the, whatever that thing's called? And it's just you two, so you sell us. Sell us on one local government.
Easy.
In like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes.
Quick. Mr. Chair, as we're not scheduled for a work session, we won't be able to sell you one.
Oh. Now, if it had said one world government, then we would have had a lot more people
I would
here.
Not be sitting at the at this desk right now. Would you like to go first?
No, here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this may be the only time you see Representative Greenlick and I, or one of the very few times you see us sitting here advocating together on a bill as co-sponsors, but it came from a conversation that we were having. We both happen to reside on the fourth floor and occasionally engage in conversations, and it led to him encouraging me to draft this bill, which I appreciate, and hopefully the conversation will continue. Essentially, the question that we were talking about is, why does a person need to have both a city and a county government? I'm talking about an individual citizen of the state that may live in Washington County or Lane County or Coos County, and may also, in many cases, live within the boundaries of a city, say Coos Bay or Beaverton or Wilsonville. And is it really necessary for them at election time to find themselves voting both in county and city elections and under the jurisdiction of two governments? Or is that just an artifact of, well, we've been doing that for a long time and it kind of evolved this way and we haven't really thought of a better way to do it? I think that one of the ways that we can improve government's relationship with folks is to look for ways to simplify their lives whenever possible. And I think that at some point there are so many boards and commissions on election day that people may feel that they have lost the ability to keep track of who all their elected officials are. And I think most people instinctively understand that they have a federal government and they have to vote on federal representation, and they have a state government and they're going to vote on state representation. But I'm not sure we've ever really made a convincing argument that they need to have more than one local government responsible for providing basic services or contracting for providing basic services in one way or another. So the idea of the bill was just to create a task force to take the very first step in this conversation, which is to simply ask the questions, what kinds of questions would have to be answered in order to change to a system where everybody just had one local government? Not the same local government, mind you, but just one. The idea being, we had hoped, I think, to just have a task force that would spend the first interim just finding out what all the questions were that would need to be answered in order to even make a transition of any kind or another. We have just a public hearing this time, so we won't be creating a task force to do that, but I'm hoping to get the conversation started over the long term about whether or not, I realize this is a huge task and has many moving parts, but whether or not there is an end goal that's possible and what the thousands of questions are that will have to be answered to get there, and then maybe perhaps we can get to a place at some point where when a person sees their ballot on election day, they have one local government that they're responsive to, and therefore are able to keep track of who it is that represents them a little bit better. Just to be clear, this really is more of an issue of city and county governments. I think that when we're talking about special districts, they tend to provide one service, and they tend to have a one service area. So that's not necessarily what we're talking about, more of just kind of the overlap of municipalities and counties. With that, I'll turn it over to Mitch.
Thank you. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlick, House District 33.
I didn't do that.
And let me take you on a brief tour of my district, very brief, to get you an idea of what the issue is for me. My district starts in the east at downtown, the Pearl, Chinatown, and my citizens, my constituents in that district have Metro, City of Portland, Multnomah County, and Portland School District. You go a little bit west, and you get into where I live, unincorporated Multnomah County, where you have Multnomah County, Metro, Portland Schools. But if you want to apply for a building permit, you go to the City of Portland to get that, because that's been contracted. Another service, you go to the City of Portland for that. You go just across another street. You have people who live in my district in Washington County, Metro, Beaverton Schools. You turn left for a little bit, and you have Washington County, City of Beaverton, Metro, Beaverton School Districts, although some have Portland School Districts. You go a little bit further west, and you get folks in my district who live in Washington County, Metro, Beaverton School Districts, or maybe Hillsborough School District, and they may or may not, in that case, be under Metro. You go a little bit further west, and you get people in my district who live in Washington County, probably not Metro, Hillsborough School District, maybe City of Hillsborough, or maybe North Plains. And it seems to me it's just absurd. And who governs us? Who we go to represent our complaints to a government really matters, I think, to citizens. And we ought to find a way to make this more coherent. I think to a certain extent counties, at least in the metropolitan areas, are pretty archaic. I mean, the notion of a county was the area of government that you could ride on horseback one day to get to the county seat. Things are just different. We both agree, and in effect, we might not agree on what the outcome ought to be in this. We might have difference, but we think this is a very important inquiry. Now, a task force, if it's dead in this area, that's fine. But if it isn't a task force, I would urge one of our interim committees to begin to take a serious look at this, because it's relevant in terms of the land use area. It's relevant in terms of agricultural. It's relevant in terms of general government. And it seemed to me it's a question that we ought to be looking at short of a constitutional convention. And I would hope we find a way to do that. If not with a task force, then let's get to work on it in a different way.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schaffler, briefly.
Gentlemen, this is probably the best idea I've heard this whole session.
We have jury soil. I mean, don't forget jury soil is a state soil.
But I'm telling you, we have governments fighting governments, fighting governments, fighting workers, fighting people, fighting neighborhoods, fighting firefighters, fighting teachers, fighting me, fighting you. And I wish we just knew how much money taxpayers pay to have their own governments fight with one another. It is absurd. It gets in the way of excellent policy. And I'll tell you, they go out and hire people. They're not of the highest integrity at times to march through this building spreading a bunch of crap. And taxpayers are paying for it. And I've had it up to here with them. Workers have had it up to here with them. If our constituents were aware of how screwed up this all is and how costly it is and how many more school teachers and firefighters and janitors and road workers we could hire with this money, they would be as furious as I am. Great bill, should pass. I urge every vote. I want to be on the task force. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Chair, quick comment.
Please, Gilliam.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, before you let him speak, would you allow him to really say what he wants to say and not hold back?
Yeah, could you?
I speak Schaffler, and I'll interpret for you all.
You're a great American.
Right there.
Oh, you were in that class too.
I'm sorry. I appreciate you both coming. I don't know which one is Oscar and which one is Felix.
He is.
Because this.
Your chair, Representative Gilliam, I prefer to think of us as the two old guys in the Muppet Show who sat.
Old guys.
Harry and someone.
I appreciate the fact you two are sitting there, and I too had the experience of teaming up with Representative Greenlick. And the first time I went in his office, I slowly began to put my armor down.
Yeah.
And by the end of the time in his office, I was very glad that I'd taken the time to find common ground. The point I would make is you are limited because the chair in his wisdom saw not to, you know, have a public hearing. But I love what
There's
you said.
There's a public hearing.
I meant to say. Oh, you're back. I thought you were still talking. But
agriculture is a lot of fun.
Since we can't.
It's the rural communities part. That's the characters.
Oh, this is where we teeter. We never get it back. So the point is, I appreciate what you said, Representative Greenlink, about the interim. But also, just by bringing this forward, why can't we have some conversations about this between now and the next session? Yeah. And because there'll be huge turf issues.
Sure.
If we can talk about this, whether it's in a town hall and other informal meetings or interim, and get cities and counties and all the other entities that were delineated to talk, I think it's a great thing to move forward. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gilliam, I think that is the first step, is just to get the entities that would be in play in the room together to ask what would be the obstacles that would have to be overcome. What are the list of issues that would have to be addressed in any plan for a transition? I think that's where we start, so that we can just take a lay of the land, and then I think once we see that list, we can make an assessment about whether or not we can tackle that and overcome those or not.
Okay. Representative Roblin.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Sure. It doesn't seem to be as hard as we're making it out to be, because they just drew some new lines for ESDs and it passed right out. So, I mean, I think you can change things here pretty easily. You just
yeah. It was all
you guys in charge of
making,
them, making
right?
new lines, and it'll work out afterwards.
So, colleagues, thank you very much. The one little piece
thank
of
you,
advice,
Mr.
if we get into a conversation at some point, you might invite Bill McClanahan. He's a professor from Oregon State Political Science, and he was once part of a panel that had to meet to decide what to do if the Rajneesh Puram commune eventually took over county government as well, and there were a variety of Supreme Court justices and other people, and they decided that they had the right through the Constitution to abolish that particular county, and it
yes.
was unclear whether they could abolish all of or they were going to abolish all of them to get at one or not. But he's got lots of interesting opinions on how to deal with local government and in extreme circumstances.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for hearing this.
Oh, my pleasure. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3321. Going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2505. Senator? I'm just going to stay up here. The transit time is worse than that.
Could I invite a couple people up with me?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Which is 505.
This is the...
This one right
here. Well, it's a study on trying to save fish in the Santa Am. Stop a endangered species listing by making their home nicer for them. And yes, that's your senator is the chief sponsor of the bill, Representative Gilliam, and the chair of this committee is the other chief sponsor, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for telling him that. I appreciate that.
I just like to get
saves
the facts.
Me a lot of words.
Yeah.
Now my head's in the game now.
Chair Clem and colleagues, I want to tell you that it's nice to be back on this side of the building. I really kind of enjoy it over here. And all the bantering, I miss that on the Senate side. I am Senator Fred Girod. I represent Senate District 9. Part of my district is almost all the North Santa Am watershed. This past summer, Representative Clem and I took a tour of the facility for the around Gardner or around Gaffin Island, and that is where the Salem takes their water out of the North Santa Am River, and we kind of got an education, and that's why we decided to team up on this bill. The North Santa Am River is one of three rivers in Oregon under the Three Basin Rule. And for you that don't know what that is, that's basically a rule where there's just a tremendous amount of the water goes for public use, and that means the city of Salem, Idana, Detroit, Gates, Mill City, Mahama, all take their water supply out of that, along with the irrigation district known as the Sanium Water Control District, which farmers use in that area to irrigate with. The North Sanium River, like a lot of rivers in the Willamette watershed, have a fish problem. Specifically, winter steelhead and spring salmon numbers have fallen off markedly. They have an ESA listing, Endangered Species Act listing. NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, has become involved, and for those of you that have followed what happened on the Klamath River, the North Sanium is going down a similar path. House Bill 2505 deals with the problem area for fish migration up the river. There is a diversion of water called Gardner Ditch, also known as the Power Canal, where the cities of Salem, Staten, and Sanium Water Control District removed their water. The problem area for fish migration is in the main stem of the river between Upper Bennett Dam, not lower, which the bill says, and where Gardner Ditch flows back into the main stem of the river. This area has become inundated with aggregate, which makes the river channel very shallow and prone to thermal pollution. Imagine a hot summer day, very shallow water, and a broad surface. What is needed in the area is to return the deeper channel to the river by removing aggregate from the river when migratory fish aren't in the river, which would be in August, September, and October. This fix was looked at in 93 when I served here in the House. At that time, Sanium Sand and Gravel would have removed the aggregate for the value of the aggregate, in which, you know, that's very valuable rock that's in the river. In short, there was no cost. This is very, very good aggregate. What House Bill 2505 asks for is a study so that ODF&W can evaluate this option. They would require an in-stream flow study known as an IFIM, which would normally cost around $250,000. However, as luck would have it, the Sanium Water Control District is working on an IFIM study so that they can retrofit a power generation plant on Gardner Ditch. House Bill 2505 could piggyback off this study and would only have to expand it slightly. In short, we have a golden opportunity to remove the bottleneck for migrating fish in the North Sanium River. Here today are representatives from Salem Public Works Department and the Water Control District in support of House Bill 2505. This bill is good for fish, good for the environment, and essential for all those who depend on the river for our water supply. You have been supplied with an aerial map of the area and a simple drawing to identify various facilities. There does need to be a couple amendments to 2505. Section 1, line 5, needs to replace Lower Bennett Dam with Upper Bennett Dam. Section 1, line 7, needs to add the words Sanium Water Control District and affected cities. This is a very good bill. It's a win-win for just about everybody, and there is just a minimal amount of cost. And I want to thank the chair for his involvement in this bill. And I kind of turn it over to start with Larry Trocey. He represents the Water Control District.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Larry Trocey, Sanium manager of the Sanium Water Control District.
I'm sorry, just I'm going to give some people some relief here. We're carrying over 2228. Amendments aren't ready. If you're here on transfer development options and rights, we're not doing anything today on that one because I see lots of people from land use that are here. In fact, I'll just 1 second.
Sure.
Can I?
You don't have to have a public hearing. You can carry over.
I'm just announcing a carryover on House Bill 2228. And I'm going to carry over House Bill 2710 and carry over 3298. 2929. Carry over work session on House Bill 2929. Watch the exodus that occurs here in a minute. I'm going to carry over a work session on House.
It's always local people that have to spend their money.
Carry over House Bill 2223. carryover, House Bill 2904. Carry over the work session on. That's it. Feel free to leave if you like. Otherwise, let's hear some more, Larry. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We support the bill and the goal of improving fish habitat in this section of the river. It's an area that is highly used for recreational fishing. The Santiam Water Control District has a pending application in front of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to restart an older existing small hydro plant within our irrigation system. The area this bill addresses is an area we've actually been studying to comply with the requirements of our application. The information we've developed so far and additional data we developed can assist with the outcome of this feasibility study. Our study plans, though, have been set by FERC over 6 months ago, and so just recently, though, we've had some requests by agencies to change the study plan that were set in doing to include additional information. This would really put a financial burden on us, but we're more than willing to support being added to the bill as a consulting entity. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair and committee, my name is Pat Dodge. I'm a senior policy analyst for the City of Salem Public Works Department. We also support this bill. As you know, we have our water treatment facility on Guerin Island between Upper Bennett Dam and Lower Bennett Dam. Fish habitat is very important to us as addition to the water flows, and we have recently in the last few years spent a considerable amount of money on a new fish ladder on Upper Bennett Dam. And the only change that we recommended was to change the language to include the section of river from Upper Bennett Dam to Gardner Ditch. Thank you.
Any questions for these gentlemen? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you think, does the offer still stand about removing the aggregate?
Thank you, Chair Rowland. I don't know that for sure. The that has sold to Morris Brothers, which then sold again. So, no, the person that I had that agreement with has since retired. However, river aggregate is very, very clean aggregate, and it is pretty easy to sell. What's kind of sad is we did a road improvement out there that we could have used the aggregate on, but that was before my time a little bit, but when that got approved.
Okay. All I can do to keep got some members of the public that would like to testify too or taken care of. I mean, I think I'll just get through them before we go into further conversation if there's no additional questions. Great. Seeing none. Thank you,
great.
Senator.
Thank you.
Pat and Larry. Tom Wolf and Kurt Melcher.
Chair Clem, committee members, my name is Tom Wolf, Oregon Council of Trousman Limited. I'll be very brief. We support this bill. We think it's a good bill, and it should go forth. And it's just real briefly, North Santiam is a special place in my heart. One of the first things I ever did with Trousman Limited was try to stop a copper mine on the North Santiam about 16 years ago, testifying before DEQ. So I'm in favor of anything that would help with restoring habitat and water quality on the North Santiam. And another brief mention is I've been instructed by Oregon Anglers that they also support this bill. But that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Kurt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kurt Melcher, Deputy Director for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I did provide some written testimony here as well today. I know you have a full agenda, so I'll be fairly brief. The department is working currently in the North Santiam with a number of entities, as was referenced here earlier, to address a number of longstanding fishery issues. We have worked with through this relicensing process that's been mentioned and are helping design studies. We have And we do note that associated with this bill, there is a fiscal of about $223,000. A good portion of that could be work that is already being done, as referenced here earlier. So the fiscal would be much smaller if, assuming the in-stream flow study goes forward as referenced here earlier. I would like to note that, additionally, with regard to the fiscal, we're a little bit unclear in terms of how large the study would be. Depending on the objectives, it could be smaller in terms of the cost, could be smaller or larger, and some of that's still a little unclear in the bill itself.
I think, yeah, perhaps Senator Gerard and I can get together with you afterwards and talk about it. We've got a little time before our committee runs out of time. A little.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So part of that study would be to look at things like spawning beds in that same reach that we're trying to do, gravel removal and all that kind of stuff, so we'd know we weren't disrupting places in that area that were also being a productive part of the system. So,
Chair Klamer, Representative Roland, that's correct. It would be a comprehensive study that would look at a number of options and alternatives for improving the fish habitat in that stream reach.
Okay.
Yeah, part of the dynamic there, as Senator Gerard indicated, is there's two channels that occur. One's got a lot of economic uses. The other one is more the environmental channel, and the environmental channel has been kind of filling up, and we need to keep it open so we're not having, again, these two things in conflict. But, yeah, Representative Roman.
Thank you. I mean, my only concern is there's a reason it's filling up, and we can get the gravel out, and then it'll just fill up again unless we figure out what's happening. So
we got to study it.
That's true. That's right.
Good idea. Okay. Any question for these gentlemen? Thank you for your testimony.
Thanks.
Or did you?
Thank
you.
Oh, just wondering if they were using my Hood River fish screens. But I'll keep that.
That's a good question. We're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2505. I'm going to carry over the work session on House Bill 2505. I'm going to carry over work session on House Bill 3089. We don't have the amendment yet.
This is where we are.
Going to open a public hearing, no, a work session on House Bill 2636. We received an amendment.
Yeah, we did. Can I go ahead and move the whole bill?
Sorry. I'm coughing over this. Buckley said we got the votes and we don't think it's going to be a fist move, and rule suspension is okay to straighten the floor. Is that right? Sorry. Maybe I'll stand in recess for a moment. Come back out of recess. That already opened the work session. Okay, so we're in work session. We've got our amendment back. Representative Krieger explained this the other day. Why don't we at least get a motion on the amendment? It's in front of you, called the -1 amendment to House Bill 2636.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that the -1 amendments be put into House Bill 2636.
When Representative Krieger moves that the amendment, -1 amendments, be incorporated into House Bill 2636.
Mr. Chair, when you say in front of us,
somewhere in this massive pile of papers,
I've got revenue intact, but I don't have a -1 either. Is it in the pile we just got?
Well, let's double check.
How about just Representative Krieger just reads it?
Right, yeah. All I can find
it is... It deletes the words agency and agent. They're not necessary in the bill.
Okay.
We did receive...
That was easy.
So that's the amendment. Anyone feel like they need to see a copy? Can you just see it first?
So just say the employee of the United States...
Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
No, I'm fine.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So it goes through the bill, taking out the words agent and agencies.
Fantastic. Good to go.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendments? Any objection to the amendment? Amendments are adopted.
Now, do you have to...
So we need a rule suspension motion because we don't have a fiscal end, though none of us believe there's going to be one. If there is one, someone will redirect it down to Ways and Means before it gets brought to the House floor, I've been assured.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2636 with the -1 mount without the fiscal or revenue impact statement being available for the review at this time.
Representative Krieger moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2636 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review. Any opposition to the motion? This motion is non-debatable, interestingly enough. I didn't know that. Any opposition to the motion? If not, the motion passes. A roll call vote is actually required. So those are the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2636 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review shall say aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Meyer.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Roper.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Wingard.
Aye.
Vice Chair Van
Ommel.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Chair Klein.
Aye. Motion passes. The rules are suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2636 be moved to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2636 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is truly a public safety bill, in my opinion. We have people who are out there doing their job, and if they come across an animal that is dangerous to the citizens and they have to wait and try to call someone, that animal may move on, may cause other problems. And I think it will be used very, very rarely, but I think the opportunity to deal with the problem and at the point where it's the interaction takes place is the best. So I appreciate this bill.
Representative Gilliam.
Mr. Chair, I too am supporting the bill, and there's another sort of happy byproduct of the bill that we didn't discuss. There was a situation regarding one of these animals, and Katie Koba was the beneficiary of that taking. And I just think that we ought to mention that as well.
You talking about Snowball or what?
No, the leopard.
Look at her coat.
A lot of stuff coming together here.
Everybody from PETA moved over there.
I don't know what to do except have the clerk call the roll at this point.
That's a good idea.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Wayne.
Aye.
Vice Chairman
Orman. Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Chair
Klein. Aye. Motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor. Representative Krieger.
Oh, Gilliam.
That was signing diet tape material right there, Snowball. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2999. We have the -6 amendments back. This has been the ongoing saga to try and get our pesticide use reporting system bill that was largely unanimously supported by the relevant groups. We had an issue with Department of Transportation, unclear on how to do the database work without a lot of GPS devices and other things. We've got amendments that we've already, I think, adopted on the linear reporting option, or is that these dash sixes? Beth is coming up to talk to us. One moment, please.
No.
2999. The dash sixes incorporate everything that we've talked about. We can certainly bring the Department of Ag, whoever you would like, along with Ame, please, and Terry Witt, please. I want everyone to hear that. I'm not trying to slip anything past everyone. You've got the relevant players okay with the dash sixes. It's a very important bill, actually, and
it is important.
Just the number again?
2999.
In the pile for how long?
Dash six. Dash six.
Put it on our list today.
Third one.
Lisa.
For the record, Lisa Hansen, Deputy Director with the Department of Ag. Chair Clem, members of the committee, thank you for your diligent work in addressing the issues that have come up with this bill. We believe that the Dash 6 amendments incorporate everything that has been brought up in terms of allowing for a change in the location reporting to the fourth field hydrological unit. It allows for linear reporting for right-of-ways. In addition, it specifies that that information, when it is collected, will be rolled up into the fourth field hydrological unit when it's reported out by the Department of Agriculture. Allows for the Department of Agriculture to collect that. That was an issue in terms of some of the confidentiality requirements that are in the pesticide use reporting system. And very clearly specifies that this program will be shelved during the 2009-11 biennium, and then to be revisited by the 2011 legislature so that the department will not expend resources on the program during 2009-11.
Ame?
Ame Code with the Northwest Coalition for Alternatives to Pesticides. Chair Clem and members of the committee, I'm here to say that, you know, again, thank you. As Lisa put it so clearly, thank you for your diligence. Dash 6, it took quite a while. And we are supportive of this bill and like to see it move forward.
Terry Witt, Executive Director of Oregonians for Food and Shelter. Likewise, we support the Dash 6 amendments and ask for your passage.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much. Dash 6 amendments.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that the Dash 6 amendments be moved into House Bill 2999.
Representative Krieger moves the Dash 6 amendments be adopted into House Bill 2999. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the Dash 6 are adopted.
Do we want to do this again?
We do.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2999 without the revenue or fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Representative Krieger moves that House Bill that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2999 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review. Those are the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2999 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review will say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byard.
Aye.
Representative
Gilliam. Aye.
Representative Roman.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler. Aye. Representative Green.
Aye. Vice Chair
Van Orn. Aye. Vice Chair
Krieger.
Aye.
Chair Klein.
Aye.
Aye.
I would not. Motion carries and the rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2999 as amended be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2999 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative
Gilliam. Aye.
Representative Roman.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Ringer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill is sent to the floor. I'm going to assign myself and Representative Chris Edwards, the other chief sponsors, co-carriers on this one. Oh, maybe I should close the work session on House Bill 2999. Open a work session on House Bill 2893. So Representative Shields is not able to be here today. Staff person's no longer. Oh, yes, he is. Please, Representative Shields, staff person, talk to us about olive oil. We've got a dash one amendment. Actually have a fiscal on this one.
Thank you, Chair Clem, members of the committee. For the record, Eamon McCleary, testifying on behalf of State Representative Chip Shields. The amendments you have in front of you, it's basically reduced the penalty for falsely selling olive oil within the bill. There are two states who have laws relating to standards for olive oil, Connecticut and California, and these amendments conform the penalties in this bill with the Connecticut law. Also, we are requesting some additional amendments to the bill after meeting with the department. However, I understand you have a lot of work on your plate, and if the chair is willing, we would request that you move the bill with the dash one amendments to the floor, and we can deal with the additional amendments on the Senate side. We've spoken with the department, and I believe they can tell you that they're fine with that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Eamon?
Only, Mr. Chair.
Representative Shoffler.
Two things. I only need my little Sicilian mother-in-law to tell me which olive oil is good or not. I don't need a label. And one more thing for our good friend here. I recommend you never testify again that it'll be fixed on the Senate side.
Lying to Congress is, Okay. Thank you, Eamon.
Thank you.
So,
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash one amendments into House Bill 2893.
Representative Krieger moves that the dash one amendments be adopted into House Bill 2893. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2893, as amended, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2893 to the floor, as amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wingard.
This is no reflection on the good representative and his staff. I certainly appreciate that they are bringing the bill in good faith, but I'm just not convinced that Oregon needs to get into this arena. I don't see that we have a thriving olive oil market. I feel there are other states that are doing this that probably have more of a local reason to do it, and the federal government is certainly capable of setting these standards if necessary. I can't get my mind around why this is necessary at this time, so I will be voting no.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I come from the other side, not knowing that there's peanut oil inside of olive oil, and assuming that olive oil is pure is a real health hazard for some people, and having worked in a school and had to take kids to emergency rooms very quickly because of peanut allergies, I think this bill is really important at this time to inform the public so they know what they're putting in their food. So, thank you.
Representative Shoffler.
Yeah, it's a health-related comment as well. It would be very much against my health voting against an olive oil bill, considering all the Sicilians in my wife's family.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to express my appreciation to the entire committee for not making any comments about the virgin part of this bill.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Meyer.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Roman.
Aye.
Representative Trump.
Aye.
Representative Wayne.
No.
Vice Chair Van.
Aye.
Vice Chair Breeder.
Aye.
Chair Clinton.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill will be sent to the floor. Representative Chip, as amended, Representative Chip Shields will be the carrier. going to open a work session on House Bill 2020. The dash one amendments are ready. This is the invasive species account.
I think we have some other amendments that are coming, however.
Okay, should we carry it over?
Yeah, I think that would be best. Are these the last ones that came in just today?
Dash
one. I think they're okay. I was just talking to... Oh, no, that's right. Roe Anderson.
It was the other bill.
Gotcha.
It was my research bill. That happened.
So... We are looking for motion on the dash ones.
On 2020.
On 2020.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments into House Bill 2020.
Representative Krieger moves the dash one amendments on House Bill 2020. Any discussion on these amendments? Representative Rutland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will hand out, I'll give this to our, you know, this is a statement from the Treasurer's Office that came in. I did not get these amendments put in. They're trying to be consistent with how we send up boards and foundations so that their financially goes correctly. Has nothing to do with the intent of the bill. I have and will continue to talk to people in the Senate to make sure they do the right thing, even if I'm not going to admit that they do, because Mr. Schaffler has already made certain we don't say that. But these are some things that they're trying to do consistent with bonding and putting in order. So I'll send out a copy of the letter, and I will work on that when we get it over to the Senate.
And this one has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
We might even get take care of it there.
Yeah.
I appreciate the Treasurer in helping with that, actually.
Any further discussion on the amendments? Any objection to the amendments? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move that the rule be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2020 without the revenue impact statement being available.
So Krieger moves that the, first I'll explain just briefly, we have the fiscal, we just don't have the revenue impact statement. That's why the motion is only on the revenue impact statement.
I thought it was not debatable.
What's that?
I thought it was not debatable.
But you're not, I know, that's why, to explain that's why I haven't yet entertained the motion.
Oh, okay.
I think I worked that right, we'll have to check. Representative Krieger moves the rules be suspended for the purposes of voting on House Bill 2020 without the revenue impact statement. That's what I'm supposed to say, isn't it?
It is, and then those are passed.
Those are the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2020 without the revenue impact statement being available for review. Will so aye. Those opposed, no. This is not debatable. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byrd. Aye. Representative Gilliam. Aye. Representative Brooklyn. Aye. Representative Rooklyn. Aye. Representative Schaffler. Aye. Representative Wiggins. Aye. Vice Chair Matt Arvin. Aye. Vice Chair Krieger. Aye. Chair Quinn. Aye.
Motion passes. The rules are suspended. I will note for the record, every time that my wife and I are in a conversation, and I try and claim I'm not debating, I'm just giving her explaining facts and not debating, it doesn't usually work either.
Do you ever try just telling her this motion is not debatable?
No.
Once the locks got changed, my dog got kicked outside with me. It was,
now she would do that to your dog.
That was the event.
Chair, you know how to get that all back. You just play the country song backwards, and you can get it all back.
Okay, so rules are suspended, and we're looking for a motion on 2020.
Chair, I move that House Bill 2020 as amended be sent to the Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Krieger moves that House Bill 2020 as amended be passed with a due pass recommendation. Was that your motion?
Mm-hmm.
And sent to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion on this motion?
Are we adopting the amendment or is this the due pass?
This is the due.
Yeah. I don't think we'd adopted the amendment yet. I just suspended the rules.
Yeah. The motion was made. Yeah.
Yeah, we called the vote on it.
Yeah, we suspended the rules and adopted the amendment.
And then you went back and did it.
Did I adopt the amendments after the rules?
So.
Oh, I did it first and then suspended the rules. I'm sorry.
Right. That's all right. So this is on the bill.
This is on the bill itself as amended.
It's just comforting that we're not the only ones confused.
Representative Winger.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank Representative Roblin for working on this bill. I'm actually looking forward to seeing this bill pass, and I'm very pleased.
Any further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byrd.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Hill.
Aye.
Representative Trotman.
Aye.
Representative Wiener.
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Chair Clement.
Aye. Motion passes, and the environment wins another major victory in this committee. House Bill 20... I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2861.
We are just moving.
Finally learned what to do. Maybe it's because I wore a tie today. I don't know.
I noticed that. It's very nice.
I'm sure that's because you're not wearing orange.
Hey, it's game time.
Did you say 2761?
No,
House Bill 2861.
I got to find it.
I'll keep looking.
What is this?
Oh, there it is.
Sure, Bill.
Technical assistance.
Yes.
Find it.
Is there something here?
Maybe I.
These are stable.
Yeah, that is
a bad one. No, it's Becky. Did we
have
something?
Not my. I'm sure that was an accident.
Not finding it either.
Some of us don't have it.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the situation on this bill is we may need it in ways and means to help our number one priority to the natural resources sub, the firefighting issue. We may need this bill there. And so what the request is that I've received is to move it to ways and means without recommendation so we have it available for trying to help our landowners when it comes to a ways and means debate. Representative Shoffler.
Mr. Chair, I'll be supporting the bill. But there are no, this bill just has a relating clause, and we don't have, it's once again, we don't have the line filled in with the amount or anything like that on fees charged landowners to fight fires. I just want to express my concern about that again, that Ways and Means listens to the people that are actually out there, own the land and work on the land, and not make it prohibitive for them to the point where they have to just get off the land because they can't afford to live it or work it anymore. So I just want to express my concerns to our good friends in Ways and Means again that I will be supporting the bill.
So I guess I need a motion for the purposes of discussion.
The first has to be
a
motion for
I'm in a work session now, and I
have to do this. We have to make a motion for Ways and Means.
Charges imposed.
I still heard.
It's a good thing I've got it.
I could bring it up.
Well, Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2861 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review.
And for clarification, we do need this motion, even though it's going to Ways and Means?
Because Ways and Means is an assistant referral committee and not a policy committee.
An oddity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll straighten this system out someday. Representative?
Yeah, as the committee that's supposed to be looking at all aspects of the bill, the rule was made that we needed to have the fiscal statement even before we sent it to revenue, even to Ways and Means, because we're making a real important decision. Okay. About the purpose of it, and money might be a part of that. So that was the reasoning for it. But I think it's a great idea to suspend the rules.
Well, now I'll entertain the motion since we're not allowed to have discussion once the motion is entertained. Right. Representative Krieger moves rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2861 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review. Does the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2861 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review shall say aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative aye.
Excused.
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Brooklyn.
Aye.
Representative Shopper.
Aye.
Representative Winger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Greener.
Aye.
Chair
Cohen. Motion passes. The rules have been suspended.
Yep. Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2861 be moved to the Committee on Joint Ways and Means without recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves that House Bill 2861 be moved to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation. Any discussion?
Very briefly, Mr. Chair.
That's all.
As I said, specifically relating to charges imposed by the state Forestry Department, creating new provisions and amending the statute. Now, I'm passing this along because I want to help and provide technical assistance, but I want to make sure that the stakeholders, the people that I really care about that are covered under this bill, are on board and have unequivocal support for whatever's put into this bill before I vote for it. Thank you. On the floor.
Further discussion? Now the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byron.
Excused.
Representative Healy.
Aye.
Representative Robles.
Arnie.
Aye.
Representative Chopper.
Aye.
Representative Winger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Winger.
Aye.
Chair Tom.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill is sent to Committee on Joint Ways and Means. Catch up for a moment.
Good. Grief. Vice Chair Van Orman is going to have a bill that prohibits turning on the air conditioner. I'm going to have to. Well, I have it. I have my Kleenex.
We're making good progress. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3098. This is my bill. Like, what bill is this? So I'll explain the bill before we have the director of an agency come up and apparently oppose my bill. It's going to be... I've never had that happen in this committee.
Be used to it, friend.
This bill deals with an issue around what happens when farmland has been utilized to retrieve aggregate from, and then we have some language around in the statute reclaiming it back into farmland. And I've been talked to by particularly the Marion County Farm Bureau, as those around this issue know more than anyone, along with some other growers, about an interest in trying to have the definition of reclamation in their minds be a lot more about farmland than, for example, water habitat for birds and animals, which would be sort of the fill up the pit after done using it rather than with water rather than with dirt and get it back to farmland. So trying to see if anybody from that relevant community is here because they're not in the sign-up sheet, so that's their issue if they missed their chance. Vicki, Rich, and Bob Short. All three against and no one signed up for. Let's knock this one dead, then. Do we have one person who's willing to... All right. Well, maybe it just won't be entirely one-sided. And I've got Vicki first, then Rich, then Bob.
Excuse me. Thank you, committee. I'm Vicki McConnell. I'm the director of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, known as DOGAMI. And before I begin, I commiserate with you, Vice Chair Van Orman, on the allergy issues, both inside and outside. I can't go anywhere now. I'm trapped. I'm going to speak to the bill from the agency regulatory side. the bill as written would change the Mining and Mining Claims Act that my agency administers under the Mineral Lands Regulation and Reclamation Program. And under that program, we are responsible for regulating mining in this state, and that's primarily surface mining. And so What this would do would create a, in some instances, a dual regulatory responsibility between this agency and the Department of Agriculture. It would also change bonding requirements that are in the Act on particular lands, on farm use lands. So it is narrow in its scope, but it would have an impact to the agency. This similar bills and this bill, the bills similar to this have come up before. There's concerns from the farming community that considerable amount of acreage is being lost to aggregate mining or surface mining in those areas where you may have exemptions to farm use for surface mining. Unfortunately, the good hard data, which is something that my agency likes to work with, is not really out there to determine what those acreages of loss are that would make this bill really necessary. We do not feel that enough information is available at this time and would certainly be interested in having a discussion about looking at both the information that could be gathered for data on how much aggregate activity is actually going on in farm use lands, and also what the economic impact to changing how we mine for surface mining in the state. So, in summary, we're not supporting the bill primarily because it would create dual permitting at a time when we are all being indicated that regulatory streamlining is what we should be doing. So dual permitting would have a physical impact and an impact on regulation. We do, during our interagency, when we have a permit for any type of applications for surface mining, permit is always circulated to all natural resource agencies that would have an input to that, and we always honor and look at any of those suggestions from any of the other agencies. And the final one is just a note that we only deal with the regulatory side of these type of land use decisions. We are not the land use decision-making authority. So when it comes to decisions on what can or can't be done on farm use, that falls to the authority of generally the municipalities, cities, or counties. And with that, I'd be happy to take questions or comments.
So I have one, and I've forgotten it. So other questions or comments for Vicki? So because I don't want to just hand the gavel over and miss testimony, I need to use the restroom. So I'm going to have the committee stand in recess for like 3 minutes because I want to hear what these gentlemen have to say. But I
that's true.
Yeah, I need to hear committee. Something I need to do. So yeah. Please
let's go.
I'm back from some activities.
This truly is a serious committee.
It was serious business. Rich. Oh, we had already done questions. We were done at the moment.
All right.
You're welcome to stay. But.
Chair Clem and committee members, I do want to recognize that, I think that I appreciate your concerns about the bill and about the issues, and so we should make sure that we develop good policy when we're thinking about all of our land use.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not sure if what you meant to do when saying you don't support the bill is actually mark the against box. Most agencies put neutral with information, I've noticed in my time. But it's bringing concerns is not as good as bringing options. That's all I would say. Yeah. Rich.
Thank you. My name is Rich Angstrom, and I'm the president of the Oregon Concrete Aggregate Producers Association. And Mr. Short, who is our legislative chair, is next to Vicki McConnell here, is going to go into a little more about what the bill does. But I did want to say just a few things from a broad policy perspective. Is I think one of the issues that happens over aggregate in this building is really a kind of a lack of understanding of the complexity of the industry and how on a yearly basis, it becomes more complex in the types of material that we're producing to meet the demands of society. It's not like 50 years ago where we literally just went out and scooped it out of the ground, threw it in the back of the cement truck or aggregate truck. The design, mixed designs and the products for asphalt and concrete and municipality waste treatment facilities. And I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of products of aggregate. And the mining methods are increasingly complicated. And the industry as a whole is always open to talk about statewide aggregate policy. And as this issue continues to percolate in the legislature here, that's what we should be focused on. Not so much, I think, the mechanics of things like this particular bill that could be done in rule, could be negotiated out with the parties and the Department of Ag and Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. So we are doing the best we can in reclaiming our lands back to some public purpose. And so when things happen like this, we look at it and we think, well, this is almost undoable, and you're going to hear that from Mr. Short about the problems with it. But I wanted to speak to the policy side of it, and that we are open to have that continued discussion. And in fact, many of our members and many of us are farmers, and what we do like with our lands when we're done is for them to be reclaimed to some public purpose, and farmland's one of those. As you know, the law already requires us to do that. The only thing I will say substantively about this bill is one of the big policy pieces that the legislature has embraced in the past, and the agriculture and the aggregate industry have embraced in the past, is to mine as deep as we can. We have a smaller footprint if we do that, get as much aggregate material out of a site as we possibly can. When you do that, it makes it more difficult to reclaim it back 100%, which was what this bill requires, back to a farm use. So you have some competing policies that go there. And there's rationales for that. So with that said, the only other thing I would like to point out is we are reclaiming land back to farmland. The OSU studies that were done in the last mediation process that Kulongoski, Senator, Senate President put together, and Karen Minnis, Speaker at the time, had us all involved in. Some studies came out of OSU, and those studies showed that statewide 1,000 acres of the mined area have been put back to farm use. And I agree with Director McConnell that there needs to be more data brought out on exactly what that entails and how much we're doing and how much we're consuming. And that leads to a lot of the miscues with you folks here on these committees. So with that, from a policy side, we're always open to talk about the policy considerations. We strongly believe that reclaiming as much back into farmland as we can do is a good policy given limitations of depth and also limitations of what NOAA and some of the other interest groups want as far as connections back to the Willamette River and other river systems to provide diversity and those kinds of things. It is a balance. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I know the association is not supportive of this bill, and Mr. Short will go through that.
Thanks, Rich.
I'm Bob Short. I'm public affairs manager with Glacier Northwest. We are the largest sand and gravel, concrete, and cement producer in the Pacific Northwest, and I think we're the second largest in Oregon. I'm also the chair of the OCAPA Legislative Committee, Chair Clem, members of the committee. Looking at this bill in you know, studying it a little bit, it's clear that the purpose of this bill is not to provide a reclamation standard, but to, in effect, eliminate aggregate mining in the Willamette Valley. The standard that is set forth in this bill is almost by definition impossible to meet. If you remove the alluvial soil, the alluvial aggregate that underlays the soils in the Willamette Valley, you're not going to have the same character of soil when you're done, when you put dirt in it, put topsoil on top of it, as you had before you started. The existence of the high quality aggregate or high quality agricultural soils in the Willamette Valley is a result of geological forces that put alluvial aggregate underneath them. My second point is here in Oregon we consume approximately one dump truck load of rock per person per year. Which is a lot of rock, and it has to come from someplace. The best rock in the state are alluvial aggregates that came to be as a result of these same geological forces and which exist in the Willamette Valley and which are relatively close to the markets where the demand is, because aggregate is a heavy product and is relatively inexpensive. The transportation of it is a major factor in the final cost to the consumer. So if you move aggregate away from the market, you're having a huge impact on the cost. The third point is that the quality of aggregates is important. Not all aggregate is the same. I'm in the concrete business. We make concrete out of alluvial aggregates because they are the highest quality available to us. If you move away from using alluvial aggregates, in order to achieve the same kind of quality, which is questionable, you have to completely redesign your mixes. You're going to have to increase your cement content by quite a bit. You know, our QC guys, without knowing specifically what the characteristics of any particular pit would be that's off in the hills someplace, would estimate somewhere about 10 to 15% more cement, because you also increase your water demand. Increasing your cement content does, in fact, increase your carbon footprint. This is going to have a huge effect on the economy of the state, frankly. So, for these reasons, we feel that this is to make a kind of a blanket standard for reclamation in the Willamette Valley is short-sighted and not in the best interest of the people of the state of Oregon.
Questions? Representative Schaffler.
Mr. Chair, it's really not a question. You and I have talked about this issue at length, and what I'm about to say will be no surprise to you or anyone in this room, probably. I don't support the bill. You know, the problem here is we need transportation, energy, food, gravel, water, and we need land to do all that on, and they are frequently in conflict. That it's a huge problem. I support the gravel industry. I support the farmers, loggers, energy, water users. So I'm stuck in the middle of this conflict. Sadly, right where some of the best gravel is, there's farmland. Actually, some of the best gravel is in the stream. I wish we could just get back in the stream. That would really solve a lot of problems, and maybe someday we will. And we want fish, too. So we want all, we want and demand all of these things, and then it's conflicted. But to pass a bill that would, as has already been said, essentially ban gravel mining in the Willamette Valley in the very same session that we're going to pass, I hope, the largest transportation package ever, I cannot get behind that. I do not think we need to, we should, or do I think it's responsible to insist on importing a commodity at incredibly increased cost when it's an abundant commodity right where we're going to build the things we need to build. I cannot, and nor will I ever, get behind a concept like this for those reasons. But I do want to thank the chair for being willing to be in the conversation. That is incredibly valuable. That's what we need. We don't need people butting heads around here. And I want to thank Ms. McConnell for actually being someone that heads up a department to come to, before a committee and oppose something. I don't like neutral. I'd be for something or be opposed to something. I don't like neutral. I agree with the chair. We need options. But I prefer people to take a stand, whatever that stand is. So I want to thank you, Ms. McConnell, for doing that. Thank you.
Representative Krieger.
Yeah, Rich, and I believe you know the Wall Ranch down in Curry County. They've been, it's between Elk and Sixes River, and it's just, you can look from it and look at Elk River, and they've been stripping the soil off of that for 30 years, taking some of the best aggregate there is. Knife River's in there now.
Mm-hmm.
They put that soil back, and I can take you down there to some of the finest pasture that they've logged. I mean, they've been in there mining over the last 30 years that you can't tell the difference from where they've been to where they've, you know, to where they haven't gotten to yet. So I think another thing that's interesting, that on these same farm and ranch lands where you have this effect, we got federal programs to create ponds and lakes and do enhancement on these same type of properties, which oftentimes involves doing these same type of things. I guess it's not a one-size-fits-all is what it amounts to around, and the objectives of certain pieces of property are going to be different.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
if I might,
please.
Just a very short response. Representative Krieger, what's interesting about this particular bill is it has, I think it is geared at some of those examples where we have reclaimed back 100%. And when we do mine shallow because the deposits aren't as deep, we can approach those numbers, and that's an example. There's actually one in Benton County, Green and White's approaching 100% back to farmland. The last time we had the big debate on this, we had a tour, and there's combines rolling across old mine sites that are harvesting wheat. Legislators got to see pumpkins growing right next to the mine walls on reclaimed property on Frank Morris's old site. So we are trying to do those kinds of things. But with this bill, the issue with this bill is the competing policy of reclaiming back to farmland and mining deep and getting as much aggregate as we possibly can. By saying that you have to reclaim back to the original contours and productivity of the land, what are you going to fill it with? You've got to fill it back with sand and gravel or dirt or something, and you just took it all out. So it just doesn't work. It just doesn't logically work. But what it does do, the bill does, is point out the conflict of two competing societal interests here, and I do appreciate that. And again, it's because I don't think the industry has done as good a job as we could in this building with all of you of letting you folks know about our industry and the complexities of the industry. And so we see these kinds of things come out that aren't really completely thought out. So.
Thank you.
We've got three more folks to testify.
Two more. Chair Clem, and I speak reluctantly because I don't want to offend the good sponsor of this bill, but I have been spending hours and hours and hours this session trying to put together a package for investment in transportation, and I can tell you that the investment is not going to be the amount that I want it to be. It's not going to be nearly enough to do what we need to do in this state, but it is going to be a big investment. And anything we do that could raise the cost of supplies that we need to do these investments just makes the money that we're hopefully raising go a little less far than it would have. And so I just, you know, I'm caught between a couple different interests, but I, you know, I'm not going to throw all my work away to vote for this bill.
So I think the open questions that hopefully you can hear about from the next witnesses, but I wanted to give you a chance to respond, are how much, you know, more does it actually cost? You know, we passed a bill recently that said how important we think, even at the expense of up to 10% additional cost, food is. We gave an allowance to contracting agencies to have a preferential purchase to in order to promote local agriculture and local farming, even if it costs up to 10% more, and with written determination, even more. So, I mean, that's essentially what I think. If there is an additional cost, it's what does it do to save farmland at that additional cost? Same issue as local. Thank you. I see you. The other piece, just so I can get a response on all this at once. In the way I read this bill, as you see, it's at the request of the Oregon Farm Bureau. They're going to testify. I don't see the words ban Willamette Valley in there, obviously. So then the question is, I think, in this first part, are there any soils that don't contain more than 25% of prime unique class 1 or class 2 in the Willamette Valley? If the answer is there literally are none, then ban isn't the right word. It's go through this new reclamation process. Then the question is the reclamation process in effect a ban? What I see here is it shall be reclaimed to the same quality farmland. And if you look at the definition of that, it means all the way up to the just short of 3 feet. It is it's not even that. It's a foot and a half. Oh, no, I'm sorry. All the way up to 6 feet. It can be whatever. Then from 6 feet up to the very last foot and a half, then it should be sandy clay loam and silt loam soils. Then that last 18 inches should be that prime unique class 1 and class 2 that was taken off. And so you know, I just need to understand what is so wrong with that, because I got to be honest, and I'm trying to be a peacemaker on this issue. The rhetoric used by both sides is extreme, and maybe it's accurate, but it's extreme rhetoric. And I need to understand the accuracy of it rather than just terms like you're destroying all farmland, which is what my good friend Bruce Chapin says, or you're banning everything, which is what aggregate says. So how is the definition that I just described, 18 inches of high-quality soil, another 6 feet of sandy clay loam, and whatever else, banning aggregate in the Willamette Valley?
Chair Clem, let's assume for the sake of argument that the 6 feet of sandy loam and the 18 inches of topsoil are going to be stripped off the site they're already there, right? So you take that stuff, you put it off in a site in a stockpile someplace so that when you're done mining, you can put the original soil back where it was. What's underneath it? I mean, I think, and I'm not a geologist, but I believe that what's underneath that soil has an impact on the quality of the farmland that you have to begin with.
Well, too, at a certain, I mean, this.
I mean, this
at a certain depth.
I mean, if you put garbage under there, what's, you know, is that going to have an impact on the soil?
Underneath the
7.5 foot layer.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a geologist. These are questions that have to be answered.
Yeah. Aren't you a state geologist?
I am a state geologist.
Let me finish. Yeah. I'd like to point out that in Columbia County, which for the purposes of aggregate siting is in the Willamette Valley, we have committed to filling up a deep mine. It's anywhere from 110 to 60 feet deep, depending on where the cementitious layers were. It's about a 100-acre site. It wasn't farmland to begin with. It was a grandfathered site because mining began there before there were land use laws. It will ultimately be an industrial site. We conservatively figure it's going to take 40 years to fill it up.
And is it more than 25% class 1 and 2?
I couldn't tell you that.
Well, then when you come in and say the words banning it in the entire Willamette Valley and you can't tell me if it is more than 25%, I'm not sure how you can accurately say it's banning it.
The point is
it only applies to bills that have more than 25% mix
Well, if you take a look at the soils map of the Willamette Valley, there's not a discrete band, a discrete band of class two soils along the rivers. They're scattered, you know, kind of throughout the. When you look at siting an aggregate site, you look at the quality and the quantity of rock on the site. You look at whether or not you can make a deal with the guy.
Thank you. I understand. Yeah. I think I've made my point about the use of the word ban. I think you've made yours. State geologist.
Chair Klim and committee members. First, I'll take the comment. If you have a stratigraphy of rock or whatever in soil profiles, you certainly can strip off your different horizons of soil. That's what those are all considered. Save them. What is underneath that does have an impact on what the soil is, and it's not complete. I'm not going to agree with you. You're both right, and you're both a little wrong.
That's the way it should be, probably.
Yes, is that, for example, aggregate under good soil means you have excellent drainage because you have nice porosity and permeability. That makes a big difference that if you filled it up with something that was not as porous and permeable, then you would not have the same type of farming ability. You may have the same soil, you wouldn't have the drainage anymore. So it does make a difference what you're going to fill back up afterwards. Now that said, I'm sure you could find something that would have the same porosity and permeability, but I could not even begin to speak of what the cost or the time or where you would find something like that to refill those mining areas. I also wanted to speak to one thing because I think that is I'm taking to heart what you said is that all I did was come in with issues on my my written testimony and what I said, and I don't want to leave it there. I agree. The issue is there. We should work toward, the state should work toward developing a policy that we can all live with. My agency will regulate to that policy. That's my job. And when we have it, if the policy is you don't do anything in the Willamette Valley when it comes to mining, then we will regulate to that. The impact has to be discussed, and the facts on what that impact are need to be determined, and that simply has not been done. And I would be very supportive of what we have actually mentioned this several times of a macroeconomic study being done on aggregates in the state to look at what those issues are on a regional basis. The coast has different aggregate issues than the valley, and the east side has a different one. And those should be looked at, and the state should have the facts in front of them and determine what the policy is going to be.
Well, that's fair. Anybody else for this panel?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Shoffer?
I can't help but say if you strip off the soil, dig a huge hole, and you have to fill it up with the same stuff, what's the point of digging the hole?
You get the aggregate out.
Yeah, but what are you going to fill it up with? Aggregate?
No, dirt.
Where's that come
quality
from, Mr. Chair? Where's the dirt come from?
Where does our
what
food
you got,
come from?
What if you got 100 feet? That's not the issue before us. Where our food? We all know where our food comes from. We have to have gravel. As much as we demand gravel, as much as we do food. And if we want to quit grab this bill, it would be pointless to dig a big hole and our yard out aggregate just to put aggregate back in. You just can't do that.
Obviously,
and where
we're in
is
a public
it point,
hearing, and we're not going to be moving
from
this bill today. So
thank you,
you and
Mr.
I will
Chair
have lunch
now,
and talk
now
about
I'm
it
happy
further. Okay, let's actually get the last two members of the public. Thank you all for testifying.
Thank you,
Chair. We can't have fun entirely all the time. We have to have
I'm having fun, Mr. Chair.
I know you are. So that's Kate Kimble and Sean Cleef.
Well, just the chairs. Go ahead.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, for the record, Sean Cleave, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. I would... a couple of things I'd like to respond to, obviously, in the testimony, and I'm going to leave those on the table because I don't think it's productive for the discussions today. Obviously, the Oregon Farm Bureau has deep concerns with the amount, the impact on aggregate mining, especially in the Willamette Valley, on our high-value soils, and the amount of reclamation that's going on, and the definition specifically regarding that reclamation. Agricultural use could be a variety of things, including ponds, obviously. One of the things that I will point out that was suggested quite a few times from the committee and the members of the last panel was that we don't have the data regarding how these mines are impacting as far as the depth and width and how those reclamation programs are being implemented and whether an agricultural use actually means reclamation back to some sort of productive soil or an agricultural use, which may be just a pond. The Farm Bureau had two bills that address the aggregate issue introduced this session, and one is being discussed in committee, and ultimately the discussions from that perspective on aggregate on those high-value farmlands in the Willamette Valley have been removed because of the objections regarding that policy. I do think that it would behoove the legislature to set some guidelines to collect the data so you can make informed decisions. I want to respond to some of the discussions regarding reclamation, and the bill may not be as artfully drafted or as maybe a little bit more specific than what would be practical. But as mines are mined, rubble is reclaimed at the lower levels from a variety of maybe site just deconstruction, and the top levels would be where maybe a mine you have upstream would be, the overburden from that would be used to replace the prior mine with soil. So there is a rolling ability to reclaim. Whether or not that could be 100%, that's obviously a debatable point. Ultimately, I think we want to find balance on the issue. The Oregon has a regional approach to aggregate. We have the Willamette Valley Standard, which actually makes it easier to mine on high-value farmland because the policy, which I think we have an objection to, but the policy is that this is where the population is, so this is where we need roads and construction. Well, this is also where we need food and so forth. So there is a conflict. We're well aware of that. Oregon Farm Bureau did commission a study that was conducted by Eco Northwest. We have some good data regarding how the impact on the aggregate industry might be felt, and obviously OCAPA has their study as well, and there's some conflicting theories that go into that information, but we'd be more than happy to provide the committee with that information. I think ultimately what we have here is people will choose the path of least resistance, and if the policy is set up in a way that encourages the reclamation to be done in a way that's not truly a restoration to a productive farm, then that's what we will end up with. And obviously we've heard, we don't have data whether or not that's factual or not. The Farm Bureau would love the state to conduct a study to find out exactly how those reclamation projects are being conducted and what the true nature of the reclamation is. But without that data, I'll wrap it up. Without that data, it's just rhetoric at this point. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, my name is Kate Kimball. I'm here today on behalf of 1,000 Friends of Oregon. I want to say, first of all, that no farmer I know, and certainly 1,000 Friends, does not support eliminating aggregate mining. That's not our goal, never has been our goal. We are supportive of protecting farmland. And when I first started addressing this issue, what struck me is ironic, and something Mr. Cleave mentioned, is that we don't allow mining on our best farmland in Oregon, except in the Willamette Valley, which struck me as paradoxical. We protect areas outside the Willamette Valley. Our best soils outside the Willamette Valley you cannot mine aggregate on, but not in the Willamette Valley. My understanding of some of the motivation behind this bill is the frustration that reclamation is a pond with water in it, and that's a problem. We can do better than that. And if we have some kind of reclamation standards in place that are effective, what I think that means is that when mining starts, there's better conservation of that topsoil, so more of it is available to return. I don't know, because I'm not a geologist, I don't know what the best standards are, but I've looked at Washington State's reclamation standards, which are substantially more stringent than ours. They seem to work there. I don't know how closely these parallel those standards, but I would encourage you to think that we are not starting, you know, inventing a new wheel here. There are existing reclamation standards in other states. We should look at their examples, see what fits and doesn't fit for Oregon, and I don't know what the answer to that is. There was an earlier comment that that this is a case of dual regulation, and I don't see it that way. I see this as consultation among state agencies with expertise. I would imagine that under this bill, you still have one-stop shopping. You just have state agencies coordinating with each other, which I would hope they would do in any event. My last point is the Eco Northwest story that Farm Bureau had commissioned. I don't have it in front of me, so I hope no one will ask me too many details. My understanding of that study is, in looking at the data that were available, and I don't know if this was an adequate amount, but looking at the available data, they did not think that there would be discernible cost increase by not allowing farmland on the best farm soils in the Willamette Valley, class 1 and 2, prime and unique. They did not see a huge cost increase in that. Those are the economists at Eco Northwest that made that conclusion, and not me. So thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. And I share your hope that the departments would communicate with one another. Unfortunately, you and I are just probably too optimistic. Sean, we now don't take deconstructed aggregate products and put it in a dump. 100% are ground up and reused. I mean 100%, all of it. I personally have years of experience of doing it. No rubble is good. I don't know, people want this stuff. It's worth something. It's a valuable commodity. We do not, it would be foolish to take that product and put it in a dump. We reuse it all the time. So that's not an option. Now, I like options. That's a good idea. I think the Farm Bureau and OCAPA should get behind something getting us back in the stream, scalping bars, etc., and when there's no fish running up and down it. That's an answer to this problem. Now, there's people out there that shake their heads no, and David, I'm not surprised you're one of them, but it is an answer, and it could be done. It is an option. Another one, up where I live, we have nurserymen and women whose aquifers are draining and lowering. They're going to lose. They will lose their five-year permits and will probably have their rights constricted or restricted to get water out. Line the pit so water don't leach in and out. Fill it up with water and irrigate with it. That's not going to answer all our problems, I know. But once again, and I think the reason Willamette Valley is an exception is because everywhere in the Willamette Valley is excellent soil. It's a great, up to 100 feet of topsoil. I grew up in Iowa. When I tell people that back home, they just can't believe it. There's 100 feet of topsoil here. It's a miraculous geological place. So I share your frustrations, but once again, we're going 7 years in this building, round and round and round on this subject. So, and I'm confident it'll continue to go round and round.
So, just one quick question. I'm trying to check in on another bill here. do we happen to have any information whether there are soils in the Willamette Valley that are that have less than 25% mix of class 1 or 2 soils?
I so wish I were working for the Oregon Department of Agriculture right now. My belief is that there are some of these soils in higher elevations, some near some rocky areas. There are some. I don't have a mental picture of what the map looks like, but it might be possible to get a map.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill. Whatever it is. 3098. Give me a little sanity. 1 second.
Sound of my own voice.
On, I need to first, carry over a work session possibility for my poor friend who's out of the room right now on House Bill 3098. We'll keep seeing if we can get on any of these kind of study or work group conversations going before our time runs out. We have little time. I'm going to carry over House Bill 3443. You have to open the public hearing to carry over. Going to carry over House Bill 3417, and I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2761. Now, I have lots of people. Every one of them is for this. There's an amendment that would be ready tomorrow, potentially, but we won't have a fiscal. We have no one opposed to this bill here. The amendment is something that we believe might be able to be addressed on the Senate side. My desire would be to get this bill moving and deal with it there and deal with the amendment there. And we have all these people. I know they came a long time. I think they would all be happy, since it's a bill they're all for, we would just move it and not have to spend a ton of time on it. Is there anybody who just really would come up and testify on this bill? Great. Thank you. So, with that, I am going to open a work session on House Bill 2761. We have a revenue statement, but not a fiscal, so I need a suspension motion on the...
Mr. Chair, I move that the rule be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2761 without the fiscal.
Representative Krieger moves rules be suspended on House Bill 2761 due to the lack of, and we be allowed to, sorry. I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2761 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
I've repeated the motion. Those are the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2761 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. Shall say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll. Representative, rules suspension request on a bill. 2761.
Has to do with aggregate.
What rule are we suspending?
What rule are we suspending?
Just to be able to then discuss the bill without the fiscal being.
We're
talking about in work session.
Yeah.
Have we held a hearing on this?
The soil. Were you going out?
I'm sorry. Were you not here when I just?
No, they were just there.
I'm sorry.
Busy.
It's okay. It's a public hearing. There's a ton of people here, all in favor of it. They all said they don't care if they get to come up and say that. I asked if anybody wanted to come up. No one raised their hands. And I just figured we can get the bill going. There's one amendment that's more of a technical thing on the Senate side that we can deal with. So the clerk is calling the roll on the suspension, and then we would go into discussion on the actual bill.
Representative Aye.
Rules are suspended. Now, then I would need a motion. I'll explain the bill a little bit better, too. Would rules be suspended? Or the rules are suspended. Please.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2761 be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves that House Bill 2761 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. So this, early in session, I kind of mentioned this. It actually has a lot to do with the concepts around what we, probably where we need to go next on the, as the state geologist indicated, on the aggregate issue, which is having some independent science on some of these things. Rather than folks on one side or the other go out and hire their own studies, this bill has to do with when we're trying to determine the quality of agricultural soils, having a registry that is maintained by the state that the two opposing sides, if there are on any given soil dispute issue, pick from the registry so they don't just go out and each hire their own side and lawyer up and scientist up and have some reputable standards around it. That's the nature of the bill. I can read real quick the list of people who are here in favor of it just so you've got it. Farm Bureau, the Oregon Department of Forestry, DLCDs, I think because of the amendment, is just neutral at the moment. Goal One Coalition, Mickey Killingsworth, who is a farmer from Jefferson County, Larry Dyke, a farmer from Washington County. That's Kit Kimble. Yeah. So that's the group. Any further discussion? Representative Rope.
Yeah, my only question is, we are assuming that all of the costs of this program will be borne by the people requesting it. It doesn't say that exactly in the bill. It just says they may ask for a fee. But my assumption is that it pays for everything so that there is no cost, and that way I feel comfortable moving it. I just want to make sure that was clear.
Yeah, nods from DLCD, that's correct, and that is an excellent point of legislative intent put there on the record by my friend. Oh, Shams reminding me that 13 to 15 says the department shall charge landowner fee in the amount determined by the department, and that's their intent.
But cost, that's why I was asking. I didn't want them to give us a deal. I want them to cover the full cost.
Cost recovery.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Representative Shoffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's an excellent idea to find out what we have and what we're talking about. That being said, departments aren't always objective, and I want to make sure that whoever, I read the good standing with the American Society of something, I just hope we can get as unbiased classification as humanly possible. Because if there's a taint of a subjectivity, we will be wasting the landowner's money. Thank you.
And I have an absolute agreement with that. I asked Opposite Representative Roblin Shoffler to co-sponsor the bill with me. I'm sorry I didn't ask others and explain it in more detail, but what I've heard and understood from the Department of Agriculture particularly is that we know who the people who really do well are. There's a lot of them. Then occasionally there's somebody not so good. Having a registry that says these are the people who are reputable according to their peers, pick from that, pay the full cost, we'll have some decent science and less warfare over this would be a positive thing. Any further discussion? With that, would the clerk call the roll?
Representative Byer.
Aye. Representative Gilliam. Aye. Representative Rubin. Aye. Representative Shaw. Aye.
Representative Winger. Aye. Vice Chair Van Orman. Aye. Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Chair Flynn.
Aye. Motion
passes.
The bill is sent to the floor. I'll carry this one.
Unless the Representative
Shaw. No, Mr. Chair, I will speak to it. Yeah, thanks. Okay, I'm going to, just before we get out, I know we're late, I'm going to announce that we do have an additional meeting now, Friday morning, 9 a.m. We made a lot of progress today, so we're just going to try and get through some business so we don't have to do everything on Tuesday.
Where is it?
It's here in Hearing Room B.
Very good.
Some of us have other meetings, so we'll come and go.
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
On that.
Yeah.
I have another meeting. Patrick, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. I have to bill that they didn't have the right fiscal.